It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Farah. It's coming up later, we'll hear why milk prices are down and the effect it's having on the state's dairy farmers.
First, the annual Perseid meteor shower is peaking tonight in Wisconsin, and experts expect this to be a great year to observe lots of shooting stars.
We have Bob Boniger with us now for more info about the Perseids and tips on how to best view them tonight. He's the director of the Daniel M. Sorif Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Bob, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be here.
So we get this show every year around this time. What's going on up there?
Well, the Earth in its orbit is basically plowing through a bunch of debris, dusty debris from a comet. And we do it every year around this time, August 12th, 13th.
And in general, is that what causes meteors, comet dust, so to speak?
Mostly it's comet dust. That's for the meteor showers. We can have random or sporadic meteors all the time, and that's just leftover debris from anything in the solar system.
Now, when we're talking debris, we see a pretty big light show up there. They can make a pretty big visible impact in the atmosphere. But are these big chunks we're talking about?
Oh, no. They're very, very small. Imagine going to a beach and trying to pick up one little piece of grain of sand, just one little one. That's what's making most of the meteors or shooting stars that you'll see.
Okay, so that sort of blows my mind. So I'm sitting here on planet Earth looking up what looks to be a giant fiery ball. You're telling me is a speck?
Exactly. Well, when you see a shooting star, it's not so much the little speck that's burning up, it's the heating of the air. 95% of it is the heating of the air, our atmosphere, and just 5% is the rock burning up.
Talking to Bob Boniger from the Milwaukee Public Museum about the Perseid meteor shower. Now, that's what's going on up there. Let's spend some time down here. What's the best time to check this out overnight tonight?
The best time is anywhere from midnight to dawn, which would be to about 5 a.m. It starts getting bright about then. And best thing to do is to get away from the streetlights. So a park somewhere far away, that will increase your chances of seeing about one meteor per minute, which will be great.
Now, Bob, have you done this? Do you have a favorite meteor viewing site?
Yeah, I tend to go north of the city a little bit to maybe Harrington State Park or somewhere up there. That's the best place to go. And just but anywhere from streetlights, if you can, and the further the better.
Is there any benefit to bringing, trying to do this with a telescope or binoculars?
Oh, no. The best thing to do is bring a blanket and a lawn chair and just look up. If you have a telescope and want to look at other things in between, that's great. But you really just want to relax and just look up. They happen all over the sky. They're called the Perseids because if you trace them back, they seem to come from the constellation of Perseus.
Now, you said about one a minute is the average tonight. Have there ever been meteor showers where it was more frequent than that, and might we see anything special tonight like that?
Oh, sure. No, we won't see that tonight, but there have been spectacular, what they call meteor storms, where one described it, I think, back in 1833 as raindrops almost coming down from heaven. It was so intense, but that's very rare. Tonight we're going to get a good meteor shower, one of the best of the year, but nothing to that effect.
Yeah, viewing conditions. If you're in a city, of course, it makes it hard to see. And as you mentioned, get away from the city. Where are we on the moon now? Because that has spoiled my meteor viewing in the past, and probably not just mine.
Right. The moon is near the new moon where we can't see it. There's a sliver of a moon coming up just before sunrise. So the moon will not be in the way at all. It'll be a great night. And the weather forecast looks great. So thumbs are up for all of it.
And Bob, where should we look in the night sky? Or will it be patently obvious, look at the fiery balls? Or are we going to miss them if we're looking in the wrong direction?
Well, just look all over. That's why the blanket, lawn chair, just look up. They'll seem to come from the northeast, but they'll happen all over the sky. So that's the best thing to do.
Bob, that's our big show for tonight. What other astronomical events are we looking forward to in the next couple of months?
Well, next month, on September 27th, we're going to have a total lunar eclipse, and it's the harvest moon, too, and it's also going to be the super moon of the year, so we got a super harvest eclipse moon coming up in September.
Wait, what is a super moon again?
Well, the super moon, the orbit of the moon is not perfectly circular. It's elliptical, so sometimes it brings it a little closer, and if that happens during the full moon, it appears a little bigger in the sky. It's nothing that obvious, but lately, the news has kind of picked up on it, and we can have a super moon once a year.
And the harvest moon means it's what, a little yellower?
No, it's simply the it's an effect more. It's the full moon nearest the first day of fall or the autumnal equinox, and due to the angles of the Earth and the moonrise, the moon comes up only about a half hour later each night, and that extra moonlight is what helped the farmers bring in their harvest. So that's how it got its name. But any moonrise can appear that beautiful yellowish-orangish color.
And part three of that trifecta was the a lunar eclipse. So that means the Earth blocks off the sunlight from hitting the moon. Do I have that right?
It's the moon passing through the Earth's shadow.
Okay.
As simple as that. And it will appear red, very red, sometimes orangish color. And that is due to the sunlight being bent or refracted by our atmosphere, but only the red part of the sun spectrum reaches all the way out to the moon and makes it appear red.
And there's been a lot of news lately about Pluto with the New Horizons pictures. What is the latest there?
Well, we've only got a tip of the iceberg in terms of the pictures from Pluto. We're going to get more, a lot more, and they're going to be spectacular. The ones that have come back are amazing. I mean, 2 mile ice mountains, who would have figured that? It's some canyons on its moon, Charon. I mean, the pictures are stunning already. We're going to get a lot more, but it's still kind of in taking picture mode, and it can't take pictures and send them back at the same time. So in another month or so, we're going to get a lot more pictures from Pluto.
And disappointed that Pluto's planet status hasn't been returned yet?
Personally, I just see it as a great educational opportunity to teach about planets, dwarf planets, former planets. I don't know. It's fun while it lasted. We learned, most of us out there learned Pluto as a planet. It's tough to take away a member of the family, but it's all okay. Pluto's still there out there in the sky.
Planet or not, the pictures are really cool.
Yep, exactly.
Bob, thanks a lot for joining us.
No problem.
That was Bob Bonager, director of the Daniel M. Soroff Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. He was with us to talk about the Perseid meteor shower peaks tonight from our viewpoint here in Wisconsin.